lovely people. Yes, it's Gotcha Time. We hope that you listen in, because the show is fine. Our team are all assembled and sitting in their places. You recognize their voices, which are better than their faces.
The Gotcha Show. Oh, I fucking love these geezers.
Hello and welcome back to the most spectacular, the fantastic, the most listened to, the most consistent, and of course, the best taxi podcast in the world. You're listening to the Cab Chat Show. So before we start this week's show, I'd like to say I hope you all had a very, very good Christmas. And wish you all a happy and prosperous new year. During this show, we're going to be talking about our wish list for 2020. We're going to be hearing from Dan at Plan. And also, of course, we've got our Drum Slayer all coming up after this.
Have listened to our show, and now thanks to our podcast, even more will know. Super Cab is our savior, his talent is a gift, his ego is downloadable, but you need extra bandwidth.
Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869, or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
So Christmas has gone and over and done with. It all seems a little bit of an anticlimax, really, doesn't it? So did you have a good Christmas? We didn't have a bad one, it was a good one. We had family around, friends around, and the highlight of Christmas Day was when my wife brought out the Christmas pudding with the brandy, set light to the brandy in a ladle, poured it over to the Christmas pudding, spilled it all over the table, and set light to the tablecloth. And if that wasn't bad enough, she then tried putting it out with paper napkins. I gotta say, I just laughed. I just sat there laughing my head off while everybody else just scattered. So that was the highlight of our Christmas Day, when she decided to set light to the Christmas table, or the dining room table, which was, for some, I suppose looking back in hindsight, it could have been quite bad, really. But yeah, we had a good Christmas. Not too much alcohol this year, which I was quite pleased about, because for some reason I've started getting hangovers, which I haven't had for a couple of years. So gone off the alcohol quite a bit at the moment, and I haven't really had a drink at all recently, even on my birthday, which was on New Year's Day, although I must say that I did have my fair share on New Year's Eve, which was fantastic. Had a great New Year's Eve, hope you did as well. If you was working, I'd like to say I hope you had a really good and prosperous Christmas Eve, and I hope it worked out well for you and you earned well. And of course, I hope you all got what you wished for Christmas. What did you get? Was there anything special you got this year? If there was something special that you put down on your Christmas list, do you still write a Christmas list? Does anyone still write a Christmas list these days? Or is that just still for children? Or is it just me? So if you got something unusual for Christmas, or something that you wasn't expecting, let us know, and let us know on the show, and we'll read it out. Or you can even send us a voice message, and just go to the website cabchat.london, leave us a voice message with what you got for Christmas that you really, really wasn't expecting. Anyway, what we're going to do now is we're going to go over to our Dan from Plan for his contribution this week. So over to you, Dan.
And now it's Recap Dan from Plan. He's the man.
Thanks for that, Jamie. Hi, everyone. It's Dan at Plan. Hope you're all well. If you're doing veganary, hope you stay after meat. If you're doing dry January, hope you stay after booze. But if you're like myself, just enjoying January, then crack on. So today I'm joined with John. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
John's doing the gym.
I am.
For January.
But not dry January and not veganuary. I'm still on the burgers.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. And the booze.
Yeah.
Fine. All right, okay. Going to survive January the whole way through on the gym?
I reckon so. Yeah, it's Friday and I was there this morning, okay. So.
Was the gym busy?
No. It's Friday morning.
Okay, fine. Okay, so the reason I brought John along is because I was bored of talking to myself. So today we're going to talk about a couple of things that come up on social media. And it's about your insurance and how you pay for insurance. So we've had some issues whereby drivers have had their cabs off the road. And it's off the road either by accident or just because they've got mechanical faults. And then the drivers are complaining to us that they've still got to continue paying their monthly direct debit premium. And the reason they're seeing that is because they feel that they think that their direct debit is attached to their insurance premium. But John, that's not correct, is it?
No, it's not.
So, no point bringing you in and me talking about it. So explain to us how you purchase a policy and then how you your options about paying for the premium.
Yeah.
And then how does that lead on?
Okay. So your actual insurance premium in conjunction with your direct debit or alongside your direct debit, they are normally arranged by two different third-party companies that you're put into touch with by your broker. So your premium will be an annual premium, so it's the cost of your insurance for a 12-month period through whoever your broker decides is a suitable insurer for you. And that could be however much, £1,000, say. And you can pay it in a number of different ways. You can obviously pay it in full using your debit card or another bit of plastic, your credit card. Or there are other payment methods for people that either it's not financially viable to do it in one hit or they'd just like to spread the cost to make things more comfortable. If you choose to spread the cost, that's fine. As I say, a lot of companies will arrange it for you. However, essentially what you're doing is you're accepting a loan from a finance company. So your insurance policy is not paid bit by bit, it's paid in one hit, just not by you, by a finance company. The agreement you then enter into is that you agree a fixed monthly sum that you pay the finance company back. So whilst I understand the premise behind I'm not using my car, so why should I pay for my insurance, it's because the insurance is already paid for and the finance company want the money back.
Yeah. So just add another layer to that. So as a broker, we arrange I'm going to make up some companies here. I'm looking at my desk, so we're going to call it Coffee Cup Insurance. So as a broker, we would arrange your insurance with Coffee Cup Insurance, and we've got an obligation to pay Coffee Cup Insurance within a set period. Normally it's 30 days, so they'll put it on a statement to us, yeah, and then we have to pay it. So you buy your insurance via us, we then sell you a Coffee Cup Insurance policy, and then we've got to pay Coffee Cup Insurance their premium within 30 days. Now obviously, like John's saying, if you do on direct debit, you haven't paid your full premium directly because you're paying it back monthly, but you would have, if you go on direct debit, you effectively borrow the money from another source. So the two big ones that most people will see on a direct debit or on their bank statement, they are Premium Credit and
Close Brothers,
as John said. So we internally we call Premium Credit PCL and Close Brothers CBOS, but they effectively are loan providers and they lend you that money for that period, and then
for many different industries.
Yeah, for many, yeah. That you not just own them. I've seen PCL, they lend money on washing machines and
sofas
and all sorts. So they're a short-term loan provider and they will lend you the money, they don't physically lend it to you, the money doesn't go in your account. They pay us, we then pass that money on to Coffee Cup in my scenario. They pass on to Coffee Cup and then you pay back PCL. So PCL or Close Brothers or whoever's lent you the money, they don't really care that your cab's gone off the road. If you've had a mechanical breakdown, to them that doesn't matter. they've lent you the money for your insurance, they want that money back, and they want it back in a set period. So I know it's harsh if you, when your cab's off the road and you're not working, you're not earning, and it makes it harder to pay back. But you have to understand that there are two separate things. Your insurance premium and the monthly direct debit are generally two different things. There are rare scenarios. There are some insurance companies that lend the money as well as provide you the insurance premium, insurance policy. But you normally only find that on larger commercial type insurance policies and risk. So hopefully that explains that. Anything you want to add there, John, or
I think you covered that? Yeah, I think you covered it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Before I hand you back, Jamie Nishida, then we're going to do a Dan's fact or fiction, or recap fact or fiction. So this one, I'm going to say, you need to decide if this is true or false. There was a Scottish whiskey company that agreed to pay £1 million. That's sterling. I don't know if it was Scottish pound notes or English pound notes, but agreed to pay £1 million if you could deliver them a Loch Ness monster alive. Okay, so is that fact or fiction? I'll let you decide. I'll hand you back to Jamie in the studio, and I'll speak to you guys soon and let you know if that was true or false. Pretty soon.
We apologise for the late running of the 1824 service. This will now depart at 1918 due to driver shortage.
Taxi! Taxi!
For those times when taxis aren't readily available, it's nice to know that technology and software is here to make our lives run more smoothly. Taxi App UK does just that. Download the app to your smartphone from Google Play or the App Store, or log on to taxiapp.uk.com. And next time you need a taxi, just click the Taxi App UK icon. Book and pay with several payment options available, including cash, credit card, and through the app. Taxi App UK is free to download and use, and available across the whole of London. Founded, funded, and owned by London's black cab drivers. Taxi App UK, powered by technology, driven by knowledge.
We want some extra listeners, because we think we are great. So if you like our station, then please go tell a mate. If you can get some of your pals to tune into our show, we promise we will have a day with ginger nuts and cocoa.
Oh, I do love ginger nuts.
The Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
Thanks for that, Dan. That was informative. So I said earlier that we was going to have a wish list. Well, wish list from the Cab Chat team. Things to do with the cab trade. So here we go. Here's our wish list for 2020. So number one is no more road exclusions. So what we mean by that is no more exclusions from roads that we normally use for taxi drivers. We don't want TfL to exclude us from any more roads. Number two, buoyant work levels. We want to see work levels come back to somewhere near what they was before. We know that it's never ever going to be back to what it was before, but you know, if we could get three quarters of the way back to where we was before, that would be great. So we'd like to see the work levels become more buoyant. We'd like to see more choice of vehicles. Number three, more choice of vehicles. So we'd like to see maybe an electric Mercedes taxi and possibly others enter the market as well. So that's number three, more choice of vehicles. Number four, no more street closures. We don't want any more streets to be closed. I mean, you keep seeing in London where they're building buildings over streets, which just makes the congestion become even worse than what it is already. So we don't want to see any more streets closed. Number five, we want traffic congestion to ease. So the only way that that could happen is if TfL stop closing lanes on specific routes like the embankment and places like that. And what we're seeing at the moment in Jamaica Road and Cullen Circus, which is also turning into an absolute nightmare. So what we want is no more harebrained schemes from the likes of TfL and Camden Council. So we want no more congestion. We want the traffic congestion to ease. Number six, No more obstacles to be put in our way by TfL. So number six, we don't want TfL to put obstacles in the way of drivers re-licensing themselves, i.e. renewing their licenses, or, you know, re-licensing their vehicles. No more obstacles. We seem to have become a culture where for everything, someone puts up an obstacle and everything becomes a fight. And it's just ridiculous these days. You know, you call TfL and rather than them trying to help you, they seem to be negative all the time, which isn't helpful at all. And let's see a more positive attitude. So that's number six. That's no more obstacles from TfL. Number seven, we'd like to see a deputy mayor for transport that understands transport issues and who will converse with the taxi trade. So we don't want Heidi Alexander, or Hiding Alexander, as she's become known, who doesn't want to converse with the trade, doesn't want to meet with the trade, and doesn't seem to grasp transport problems in London. So we'd like to see a deputy mayor for transport that understands transport problems and issues and will actually meet with the trade and have an engaging conversation with the taxi trade. Number eight, we'd like to see TfL cap the number of private hire drivers. Now, it's not only the taxi trade that'd like to see TfL cap the number of private hire drivers in London, it's also the private hire trade would like to see TfL cap the number of private hire drivers in London. The only people that do not want to see a cap on the number of private hire drivers in London is obviously the likes of Uber. London cannot sustain an ever-increasing number of private hire drivers in the capital. So at some point, something has to give. And the only way that it can give is for there to be a cap on the number of private hire licences in London. Number nine, and this is a big ask, we would like to see the trade unite. It will probably never happen in my lifetime, but one can wish. And as I said at the beginning, this is a wish list from the cab trade team. So we'd like to see the trade unite and speak with one voice. And number 10 is quite a simple one. Number 10, we'd like to see a change of mayor for London. Sadiq Khan's not been very good mayor. You know, he's come under a hell of a lot of criticism. And today, David Curtin has put his hat in the ring, or he's thrown his name into the hat to stand for election as London mayor. And David Curtin is a really, really nice bloke, and may make a far better mayor than our current offering of Sadiq Khan. So number 10, a change of mayor. So I'll run through them again. Number 1, no more road exclusions for taxis. Number 2, we want to see buoyant work levels. Number 3, we want to see more choice of vehicles, i.e. taxis, for drivers to choose from. Number 4, no more street closures. Number 5, traffic congestion to ease. Number 6, no more obstacles from TfL. Number 7, a deputy mayor for transport that understands transport issues and who will converse with the taxi trade. Number 8, TfL to cap the number of private hire drivers' licences in London. And number 9, for the taxi trade to unite. And of course, number 10, a change of mayor for London. Do you have a wish for the cab trade in London? Have we missed anything out of our list? If you have got a wish, then please let us know. Why not just send us a direct message on Twitter at CabChat. So if you spend any time driving up and down the motorways, you will have noticed that some of our motorways are being changed into what they call smart motorways. Now, these have come under criticism by a lot of people. In fact, the AA have now stated they will not stop to help anybody who breaks down and is stranded in a live lane. Apparently 38 people have been killed on smart motorways in the last 5 years, and the smart motorway holds its existence is due to the M42 in the Midlands, just south of Birmingham. But that smart motorway is a little bit different to the smart motorways that they are building today. Now, parts of the M25 are going to be turned into a smart motorway. The M4, the M20, the M23, But the M42 was a motorway in its conventional sense, where it did have a hard shoulder, which was painted as a hard shoulder. But during peak times, the hard shoulder was used as a lane, but then could be closed back off again and turned back into a hard shoulder. And it also had refuge areas, like little laybys, where if you broke down, then you could pull into one of those, which they were every 600 metres along the M42. The smart motorways that they're building now do not have a hard shoulder at all. And they, all lanes are live lanes, and they're supposed to be smart by the way that a camera operator can spot someone that's broken down and then turn on the overhead gantry signs to close that particular lane. But they've come under a lot of criticism. As I said, 38 people have died on smart motorways in the last 5 years. And there was a programme on Panorama tonight where they showed some of the horrific accidents that had taken place on smart motorways, where people had broken down in the live lane and been hit in the rear by a lorry coming along. So if you are driving along one of these smart motorways and you do happen to be unfortunate enough to break down, then the best advice is to get out of the vehicle, and get out of the vehicle by the near side, the passenger side, and get yourself behind the crash barrier, behind the armor co, and just get out of the way of the vehicle. If the vehicle gets hit and written off, it's just metal. If you're still inside that vehicle and it gets hit, you could be severely hurt, if not worse. What we're going to do now is we're going to go over to our drum slayer for his contribution this week, and we will be back after this.
Thanks, Jamie. Hello, playmates. It's the return of Drum Slayer. I picked up this fella the other evening. He wanted to go to Parsons Green. This was from Sloane Square. And he was telling me how much he admires the new TXE. Loves riding in them. He's so impressed by them that he decided he would like one for his wedding to take. I don't know if it was him and his bride, maybe it was a registry office, or just his bride, to the ceremony. So he goes on the internet and he finds out how expensive, this is what he says, how expensive it is to hire a TXE for a wedding. So it's the bright idea of the day before, Friday, going out on the street, New King's Road, and he hails down the first TXE he sees, and he says to the driver, could you do a wedding job for me tomorrow, which would have been Saturday? Would you chauffeur my bride-to-be to the West End around about 11 a.m. and I will make it worth your while, £150. Obviously, the driver said yes. The next day, the driver turns up at the appointed time and duly drives the prospective Mrs., whatever her name's going to be, to the church or registry office. But the young lady was not entirely happy. Our esteemed colleague hadn't bothered to clean his cab. She said the inside of the cab was filthy. Can you believe it? I couldn't. Why would they make it up? As the fellow said to me, for £150, you'd think he could have at least swept his cab out. I mean, if it had been me, I would have thought I could get some more work out of this. Maybe this couple might even pass my number on to people. Maybe I'll get some cards printed, etc., etc. There's no accounting for some folk. A couple of nights back, I picked this elderly couple up in King's Road, and they wanted to go to Crown Reach on Grosvenor Road. Now, they were in their 80s, because they told me so, But during our conversation, they said to me, "Driver, do you use apps?" And I said, "Well, I have done, but I don't anymore because Freenow put their commission up to 15% from 10, which they knew all about and said was disgusting. I told them why I won't use Get. And they said to me, "Have you tried Taxi App?" And I said, "Well, yes, I was on them for a short while." And they said, "It's excellent. You should try it. It's a really great app." And they were telling me it's run by the drivers. It's a cooperative. Well, that was music to my ears because, as some of you may know, back in the day, I was actually on the original steering group of Taxi App there at the very beginning. And considering the boys and girls at Taxi App have a meagre advertising budget, it was lovely to hear members of the public speaking so highly of them. I was watching some of the annual Lord Mayor's show, Saturday 9th of November, on the box, and I saw a load of vintage cabs come by, a few newer ones, and I wondered, why bother? Why would our trade livery company bother? The City of London Corporation do nothing for us apart from insulting us and trying to make our livelihoods even harder. On second thoughts, what do our own livery company do for us? I presume they're gluttons for punishments, as I assume the City of London and TfL think of us in the same manner. A sort of fuck the trade, but we do look nice in our regalia. Have you noticed of late, mainly in high rent areas, you're seeing far more youngish female beggars? Some of them look fairly fresh faced and they don't have an air of living rough. Well, this is all part of organised crime. Apparently there are vans that drop these people off in their little allotted pitches and later in the day after their shift pick them up again. Needless to say, these people do not get to keep their ill-gotten gains. It all goes towards their upkeep and lodgings. It's all part of the modern day slave trade. I picked this little family up on Old Street and they asked me for the Gascoigne Community Centre. No, I didn't really know it. Number 2 Wick Road. And as a reminder, Wick Road since August has been two-way. The fella was telling me that he was two-thirds through the knowledge when his moped was stolen. Therefore, he was unable to complete it. I felt awful for this guy. Not bad enough to give him the fare, mind you, but he was so generous, I have to say. He gave me a lovely tip and we had a great chat. But I said to him, "You've got to go back on the knowledge. You must go back." I told him that of late things have been looking up and the opposition are on the retreat and this game is still worth coming into. And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Look, I'll give you an analogy. It's a bit like sex. Now, when sex is good, it's great." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "But when it's bad, it's still good, isn't it?" And he went, "Yeah." Well, that's exactly what the taxi trade's like. Anyway, getting back to a new point. Namco Funscape. Got asked for it. Never heard of it in me life. It's County Hall. So you just get them to County Hall, sort of somewhere by the Marriott, and they can find it from there. I was at Eurostar the other day, and I thought, great, there's no queue. I went straight to the front, and the guy that I thought was going to get in the cab opened the door, and all of a sudden this lady and her child and some bags got in. And I thought, oh, hello. I said, "Where would you like to go?" And she said, "Euston." And straight away I understood. She'd been broomed so often that some of the passengers in the queue connived to get her into a cab. And you know what? I didn't have a problem doing the job. "Yeah, okay, come to £8. What can you do? Hey, it's our job. You take the rough with the smooth." I mean, last night, I did about 40 minutes on Paddington Station and got a job to the, I think it's called the Grand Royal Hotel, Westbourne Terrace, 540. Can I pay with a card? double whammy. But you know what? You have to do it. You have to take the rough with the smooth in this job. That is the job. In all its unremitting glory. On Saturday, I'm at Euston on the outside, and one of the stewards comes over and asks me if I'd pick some people up. They weren't in wheelchairs, but they were quite big women. One was on crutches, and they wanted to go to a 23A Bishop's Bridge Road. They called it the Cherry Tree. Now, they'd booked it on Airbnb, and you know these people now, they like to call their homes names so it will sell easier. Anyway, they told me, they said, our Uber hasn't turned up. I said, oh, don't swear, please. What would you charge? And I said, I don't know, probably 12, 15 quid. And they all got in. And I said, out of interest, how would you all have got into a Toyota Prius? Because of your suitcases and, you know, your numbers. And they said, oh, no, no, we pre-booked a Ford Galaxy on Uber. And it was £10 because the price was pre-arranged. And he phoned us up and said, we're not in the right place. And we said, well, we're in Euston Station, we're on the forecourt. We are in the right place. Wherever you are, you're in the wrong place. So he says, no, you're in the wrong place, but I'm going to bill you for the whole journey. So I said, no, surely it's a £5 cancellation fee. Yeah, how can he bill you for the whole journey? And they said, well, he said he was going to do that. So I told him to complain. But this is what these Uber drivers are doing now. Make any excuse to get out of the fare, bill them for the job, and then go to the next mug. I said, yeah, but you're going to be in London for a couple of days. They're from their Brummies. I said, you'll be using, no doubt, Uber all over the place. They said, no, we're not going to use them again. We promise you. We promise you, we're only going to use black cabs. And word is getting round. You know, I've had quite a few youngsters who say to me, their modus operandi, transport-wise, is in town, only black cabs. Out of town, then they use Uber. I said to them, the ones I've spoken to, you should really use your local private hire, but I can't worry about what's going on out of town. Anyway, before I bid you farewell, I did mention earlier about the Lord Mayor's show on the 9th of November. Well, next day, on the 10th, was the Cenotaph annual memorial for those fallen in past conflicts. Well, a big up to Poppy Cabs. Finally, Mike Hughes and all you contributors to such a successful mission as far as black cabs are concerned, transporting the veterans, finally got some media attention, and well deserved. I did read on a Facebook post that Mike Hughes should be nominated for a Pride of Britain award. Hear, hear. Well done all. Talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
On your phone, iPad, tablet, and the internet. Cab Chat Radio Show.
Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
Thanks for that, Drum Slayer. Now, one of the things I miss doing this show is the original Cab Chat show that me and Mac the Cab started, where we had music and bits and pieces in the show. And a lot of you said that you prefer the shortened version of the show, but I've got to be honest, I was listening back to a couple of the older shows the other day, and I do miss the old style of the show. Now, I know that a lot of you don't like it, and a lot of you say it was too long, but I do miss it, and I'd like to know whether any of you actually miss it as well. Because I am considering bringing the old format back, not every single week, maybe once a month, doing, you know, the 2-hour Cab Chat show with the music and the jingles and the other bits and pieces, because there are drivers out there that did like the old format of the show. So, and I miss producing that 2-hour show. So I may bring it back once every fortnight, once every month, because I enjoyed doing it. And I'm sure there are drivers out there that did enjoy listening to it. It's just more of a radio show rather than just a shorter podcast, if you know what I mean. I'd love to hear your views of whether you miss the old format of the two-hour radio format type show podcast, and whether you would like to see it come back, even if not every week, but maybe once a month. I'd love to hear your views on that and what you've got to say about it. Another thing about motorways, something that absolutely drives me insane, is middle lane hogging. As I call them, middle lane muppets. And I know I've spoken about this before, but something happened the other night when I was on my way home. I was coming along the A2 and there was a car in lane 2. Now, I was in the inside lane, lane 1. Now, that section of the A2 is 4 lanes. And there was nothing in front of us. So there was not as if the car in lane 2 was overtaking anything. In fact, I was approaching faster in lane 1 than what they were going in lane 2. So I did the right thing, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. I pulled out into lane 2 and then into lane 3, went past the car that was in lane 2, and then pulled back across lane 2 into lane 1 again. Now, you may think that on an empty road, because there was no other car around, that the person might get the hint and move over into lane 1. But what happened next absolutely astounded me. It really did. They didn't move into lane 1. They didn't even carry on in lane 2. They actually indicated and moved into lane 3. And I could see them in the rearview mirror for quite some distance, because as I say, there was nothing else on the road, and they stayed in lane 3. Now, I found it absolutely unbelievable that they did that, and it seems to be becoming more and more frequent that people just get in a particular lane and then won't move out of it. And on a motorway, the lane 1, or the inside lane, is supposed to be the driving lane. All other lanes are overtaking lanes unless otherwise indicated. So why someone would sit in lane 3 doing sort of 55 mile an hour is absolutely beyond me. They're an accident waiting to happen. So I think the name of middle lane muppets is justified, because they must be a muppet to sit in lane 3 when there is nothing else on the road in front of them, and cars are actually coming up on lane 1 and undertaking them. Absolute madness. Anyway, we're going to go over to Dan for the answer to his question earlier, to his bit of trivia. So over to you, Dan, and tell us what the answer was.
Welcome back, Dan at Plan, joined again by John. Hello, John.
Hi, Dan.
All right. So before the break, I said, fact or fiction, there was a Scottish whiskey company that agreed to pay £1 million if you could deliver them a Loch Ness Monster alive. So, John, true or false?
Well, I think there's many factors that you need to take into account here.
Cool.
Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
So there's alcohol.
Yeah.
And also what has long been decided as a mythical creature. However, I'm going to say it's true, and the reason I'm going to say it's true is because I think people that drink Scottish whiskey, or even make it, so definitely also drink it,
yeah,
probably would be mad enough to offer up £1 million for anyone who could deliver a ginormous water snake.
Okay, you are in fact true. It is a truthful one. But the reason I picked on this one, because I was recently reading about this in particular, because Lloyd's of London insured it. So the insurance company, Cutty Sark, sorry, not the insurance company, the whiskey company was called Cutty Sark, and they took out a policy of Lloyd's of London in the early 70s. and it was, if someone did find the Loch Ness Monster and delivered it to them, Lloyds of London would pay out the £1 million prize fund. However, the people at Lloyds were quite clever about this, John, because what they said was, it's fine, we'll insure it, we'll pay it out, but they would own the creature if it was found. So I think if you was to find the Loch Ness Monster, you might have made...
You're going to sell it on.
You're going to make a few quid or by selling rights to it.
As an attraction.
Yeah. There was some... I've read through the policy schedule on this, and it's quite interesting. For it to be declared as a Loch Ness Monster, they said one of the conditions were it had to be in excess of 20 feet in length. Okay.
Right.
And it had to be acceptable as a Loch Ness Monster to the creators... the curators, at the Natural History Museum. So the Natural History Museum had to say, yeah, that is a Loch Ness Monster.
So and the resident Loch Ness expert had to give it the thumbs up.
Yeah, and it had to be over 20 feet long. But in the event that it was found, the monster became the property of the underwriters at Lloyd's, and that would have been from an immediate effect. So it would have paid out the £1 million sterling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was Scottish pound notes or English pound notes, but they had paid out £1 million, and they would have kept the beast, so they'd have made their money back probably
quite quickly, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So just before we wrap up, just a quick recap as always. Don't forget to mention Cab Chat if you phone Plan Insurance, because you get a discount on your insurance. Don't forget to recommend other drivers because they get a discount. That popped up on Twitter recently, so we posted about refer a friend, and someone said, I wish you told me. We've only been mentioning it for the last 18 months that we do refer discounts, so you can't be watching our Twitter that hard. And don't forget, we don't just do taxi insurance, we do all types of commercial insurance. We don't, at the moment, do personal insurance, so if you've got your own private car or house, unfortunately we can't help you with that, unless it's something weird and wonderful. If you've got a really weird and wonderful car, then come and speak to us, something unusual, like a tank or a converted minibus. Then,
or a fire engine.
Yeah, or a fire engine, we could do that type of stuff. But if it's your general run-of-the-mill car, then stick to your local broker or your traditional sources. All right? Again, don't forget, any questions, get us on Twitter, Facebook, or contact the show directly. But before I go, anything you want to add, John?
Everyone... have a good rest of the weekend.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself. I hope the rest of 2020 goes well for everyone. So all the best, and I'll hand you back to Jamie and the rest of the guys in the studio. Cheers.
Well, thanks for that, Dan. We're coming towards the end of the show now, but just before we go, we have still got some tickets left for the Hack Shack Dinner and Dance on Saturday the 8th of February 2020. It's at the Tudor Park Marriott Hotel and Country Club in Bearsted in Kent. Entertainment's going to be provided by the fantastic jukebox party band of Joe Cartwright and John Cox. And if you haven't seen them before, they really are fantastic. It's £50 per ticket, including a three-course meal and wine on the table, and other bits and pieces going on in the evening. And it's an absolutely fantastic night. Last year's one was absolutely brilliant. So if you do want to come along, please get in touch. We do need to know by the end of this week. We have got a few tickets left, but we do need to know by the end of this week. And we will need payment by the end of this week for them if you want to come along. It is a really great night. So if you do want tickets, then please give me a call on 07743 161 656, or you can email me, jamie@cabchatshow.uk. But as I say, it's a really, really great night, and if you want to come along, please get in touch with us. It's a fantastic night and one not to be missed, to be honest with you. Also, we're going to be coming live from the LCDC's offices tonight on Tuesday, the 28th of January, with Grant Davis and Danny Scarfe, who are going to be explaining, apparently, the club's position on why they did not decide to fund or partly fund the a legal opinion that the UCG and the LCDA are now funding, and why they've decided not to go down that route. They're going to be explaining the club's position on that. So if you want to tune in and have a listen, you can go to cabchatshow.uk and listen live from there. Also, if you have got TuneIn Radio, you can tune in via Taxi Radio on TuneIn Radio and listen live there also. Until next week, I'd like to thank you all once again for listening. And if you want to get in touch with us, just go to our website, cabchat.london, where all our social media links are on the website. If you want to know our Twitter link, it's at cabchat. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/cabchat. We're also on Instagram, although we don't post that many pictures because pictures don't really go that well with radio shows. But we're on Instagram, so instagram.com/cabchatuk, because someone had stolen CabChat and taken it and we couldn't get it. Until next week, be lucky out there on those streets of London. Until the next show, I should say, be lucky out there on those streets of London. And we'll see you the next time we are here. Be lucky. See you later. Bye-bye.
Well, that's the end of another Cab Chat show, and this bunch of idiots can go back to driving their cabs again, something they actually know how to do. Until next week, have a great week. Thanks for listening.